and let's turn to the word of the Lord. Brother Holly used to say that if you were always looking for sermons, you'd always be looking.
Yeah.
He said, but if you just preach the word of God, you'd always have something.
Yes.
So tonight we're not going to preach a sermon. We're just going to look at the word. Is that all right?
All right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm just going to read a few verses, though I'll probably comment on a lot more. Let's begin at verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I think these words are timely, especially for the day that we're living in. These are some wise words for these end times. We could gain, folks, a lot of good counsel tonight if we would just heed these words. He said godliness. Everybody say godliness. Godliness is simply striving to be like the Lord. That's what godliness is. And I'm not talking about a power trip. You're not ever going to be omnipotent. You're not ever going to be omnipresent. You're not ever going to be immutable. You're not ever going to be in that facet like God. But in His righteous character, in His beauty of holiness, we strive to be like the Lord. He said, godliness, if we're just trying to be like the Lord and be content with that, He said, that'll be great gain. You know, in our world today, people have their own kinds of heroes. I'll never be like Bill Gates. I don't want to be. Sure don't want to be like Steve Jobs. At least Mr. Gates has given away a few billion dollars. You know how much Steve Jobs gave last year according to Forbes? Zero. Zero. A guy made multi-millions of dollars and gave away nothing. Isn't that tragic? Amen. See, I don't want to be like that. Amen. We if we're not careful, folks, we get real discontent. You got to watch out. I hear people complain about their nose. Why do I have such a big nose? The better to smell you with.
That's it, right?
Why do I have to have these big ears? Brother Hart and I were mentioned today, for some reason, odd things come up when we get together. But anyway, did you know there's three things on your body that always grow, never stop growing? Your ears never stop growing. So if you think they're big now, honey, hang on. I'll be like Dumbo before it's over. Might already be. Amen. Your nose never stops growing. And your teeth never stop growing. And some things just never stop. They just keep growing. If they hang with you long enough, that is. The ones you got don't stop growing. Let's put it that way. Amen. There's some things that just don't change. But you see, we just need to learn to be content. Ogden Nash had it right. He said, as for beauty, I'm no great star. There are others more handsome by far, but my face, I don't mind it. I'm the one that's behind it. It's the folks out front that I jar. Amen. You see, long as you're behind it, I don't know what I look like, and you don't know what you look like, because we don't. All we've got is no lying mirror. That's the only way you have any idea, and that's just that perception. I don't know if I look like that or not. So why worry about it? You've never seen your face. Amen. And so just be content, folks. Just be content. Isn't that a good goal to strive for? Just be content. Amen. We live in a world that's never, ever satisfied. They got what they've got and they want more. Amen. And so we just need to simply be godly and be content with being godly. Amen. And then he said, we brought nothing into this world. Did you know you were born without any pockets? That's right. You didn't have any pockets when you were born. And when you go out of here, if you got pockets, and they may be full, but it ain't going with you. You may be like the guy. He said, I may not take it with me, but I'm sure going to try. So he took all of his possessions and he put them up in the attic. And he said, I'm going to grab them on the way out. They rushed home after the funeral to see if it was still there. Sure enough, it was. Somebody said, well, maybe we should have put it in the basement. Wasn't sure which way it was going. Amen. But you're not taking anything out of here. Whatever you got, it's going to stay. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all His. Nothing is going to leave here with us except our relationship with Jesus Christ. The only thing you can take to heaven with you are the souls that are around you. You can take your family to heaven. You can take your neighbor to heaven. You can take your co-workers to heaven. Amen. That's all we're going to take out of this world. And that ought to tell us where our values ought to be. Amen. And then he goes on to say that they, and this is a warning. Now I want you to pay particular attention to the wording of this verse. He does not say rich people. He says they that will be. You don't have to be rich to have a greedy spirit. You can be as poor as Job's proverbial turkey, having to lean up against the fence to gobble, and have an old greedy, avaricious spirit. That's right. Amen. Just not being satisfied with what you got, always wanting what somebody else has. That's that old rich spirit. Just never satisfied with what we have right now. Always wanting more. Amen. And so he just simply saying those that want to be rich, those that have that desire to hoard. That's what the word rich means in the Bible. It doesn't mean having a lot of stuff. It just means having the job, the spirit of hanging on to everything you get. So you don't have to have a whole lot. You just want to hoard what you have and not willing to share and impart. So that's what he's talking about when he talks about being rich. He said, because they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Amen. Which drown men in destruction, perdition. Have you ever known somebody, they're always into the quickest, the newest get-rich scheme. Amen. Always wanting to sell. So I have friends that every time I see them, they want me to get into something. It's the latest thing, man. And you will really make money doing this. They have never have. Every time I see them, they're still as poor as they were last time I saw them. They just got a new scheme. But this is it. You know, I gave up on that a long time ago. Now, this is not for me. Him and I sold Bondale water filters. It was supposed to be the surefire thing. Amen. I gave more of them to family than I ever sold. Amen. All that wound up just cost me a few hundred dollars, and I learned a lesson, a very valuable lesson. This is not for me. Amen. And so there's always that desire to get, and that getting grasping and greedy. Verse number 10 to me is very sad. It said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it. You see the difference? There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having it. There's nothing wrong with having lots of it. If God so blesses you that way, there's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of it. As Brother Troy mentioned tonight, as we have often said, you know, all you can have in your hands is fine. Just don't let it get in your heart. That's when it gets to be the love of things. When you get to loving stuff, I think it's important for us to not let love of stuff get in our heart. Enjoy things, but understand that they're just things. Amen. They're not happiness. They're not happiness. Amen. I've seen folks get really upset because some stuff got broken or some stuff got stolen. Amen. Well, it's just stuff, folks. So all this might be the Lord trying your spirit. Huh? Woo! Where'd that come from? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. God used stuff to, we told you the story. He used a bunch of stuff that we really didn't need. Thief came by and stole it, and that's how we got to go to the mission field the first time. Amen. State Farm and a thief sent us. We bypassed deputation that round. Amen. So God can use all kinds of ways if you don't get too attached to stuff. Amen. And so we just don't need to get too attached to it. He said, and here's the warning, which while some, but say some, not me, some. Amen. I'm sure that's probably not anybody here like that, but some coveted after. Now here's the sad part. They have erred from the faith. I've watched people that had to have so much stuff they couldn't come to church because they had to work to pay for it. Huh? I know some men that could have had a great ministry, but they got too attached to stuff. They got themselves so in debt they couldn't follow the will of God. And whenever they're still sitting on a pew somewhere waiting for something to come open. Well, stuff came open, they were just so attached to stuff they couldn't get loose from it. And someday they'll have to answer to the Lord for a ministry that was never fulfilled. Don't get too attached to stuff. It can cause you to miss the will of God. Amen. And so they erred from the faith, and here's the sad thing, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I have watched and witnessed so many times people that had to have so much stuff. And one of their great excuses was, well, I want my children to have what I never had. Well, maybe all they wanted was a father. Maybe all they ever wanted was a mother. They didn't want a bunch of stuff. Stuff doesn't mean very much. It's relationships that are important. And so they pierced themselves through with many sorrows, trying to buy affection when all they had to do was just spend some time and love somebody and be vulnerable to somebody and enjoy a relationship. But they were too busy trying to get stuff. Amen. We're in America in 2009. And everywhere you look, you stand in line at the grocery store, there'll be some advertisements right there telling you, if you'll just get this, you'll be happy. And I saw it today. Every day you are exposed to like more than nearly 300, I think it is, advertisements promising that you'll be happy. If you drink this brand of coffee, oh, it'll just make your day. You'll be happy. Well, any kind's going to help me. I mean, when I get up in the fog, I need something. Amen. Amen. So you see, but just do this. If you wear this, if you smell like this, or if you If you eat this, or if you wear this, or if you drive this, or if you live in this, or if you stay here, or if you, everything's a promise. Boy, if you'll just do this, you're going to be happy. And none of it ever makes you happy. You see, that's the world we live in. It's full of this stuff. But we need to keep our balance, folks. And don't buy into that. And then he says, but thou, O man of God, hear me tonight, man of God. Hear me tonight, woman of God. This is for you. He said, flee these things. Run from these things. Get away from these things. Turn away from these things. Don't let this kind of thinking get a hold of you. He said instead, he said to follow righteousness. That means a right relationship with men and a right relationship with God. A right relationship with your brothers and sisters. A right relationship with the people you work with on your job. A right relationship with your family members. All of those things are important. Amen. You cannot have a right relationship with God and not have a right relationship with your brothers and sisters, your family members, and your fellow man. That's why he said, with all that is in you, follow peace with all men. You know, there are sometimes we can't follow peace because people just ain't going to be peaceful. But if it's at all possible, love peace and follow peace. That's righteousness, being right with God, being right with man. Godliness, we've already talked about that. That's having the love of righteousness and the love of holiness and moral things, just like God does. That's what godliness is. And faith. Faith here is not talking about the power to receive things. This faith is the body of beliefs. A body of beliefs, some convictions, some doctrines that will cause you to be founded and steadfast and unmovable regardless of what's going on around you. Thank God for that kind of faith. Amen. Praise God. Brother Scholes, this is what's happening with your family right now. It's a wonderful thing to have the presence of God whenever your world's shaking. And when the things that you love most are snatched away from you. But you've got a foundation that you can stand on that nothing can shake. Amen. Praise God. I've seen people fall apart over all kinds of things. I've seen people not get the seat they wanted and just get all upset. But I wanted to sit there. Did you know it's even happened in church? Amen. Isn't this fun? Might as well smile. What is it? Takes 43 muscles to frown, only 17 to smile. So let's be lazy and smile a while. Amen. All right. So he said, let's be godly and let's have faith and love, agape, God kind of love. He said, patience. Now, patience is not just sitting there and folding your hands, folding your arms, and saying, well, if God wants me to have the Holy Ghost, he'll give it to me. If God wants me to get a job, he'll have somebody come by and offer me one. Shake your head like this right here. Yeah, that's right, Brother Chris. If God wants me to go to church today, he'll send somebody by and give me a ride. I don't have to call anybody. He'll tell them. He'll just speak in their ear. Amen. If God wants somebody to pray for me, I don't have to pick up the phone and call, but that just automatically somehow people be so spiritually sensitive that they'll just know that I'm sick and they'll just come by and pray. And if they don't, I'm going to get mad at them. Amen. Praise God. Patience, that's not what patience is. Patience is you just keep standing. And you just, it's about fortitude. It's about grace and making it. Amen. When the air clears and the dust settles down, you're still standing. That's patience. Amen. I think of this often. My friend told me in South Texas, he said, do you know what they do with an old bull that won't stay in the pen? And he won't stay where he's supposed to stay. He said they just get a little old burro or donkey and they tie him and that bull together.
And now they're not quite the same size. You got the little donkey and the great big bull. And they start out, the bull just drags that little old donkey wherever the bull wants to go. And it looks like a losing proposition. But if you've ever seen a donkey, you know what they do? They just dig in all four, just like this. And they say, you're going to make me go where I don't want to go.
But you're going to pay a price to do it. You're going to drag me everywhere we go, buddy. And they said that old bull will drag that little old donkey around everywhere he goes. But after a while, he'll just give in. And after a while, you'll see that donkey coming home. And that bull will be just trotting along right beside him. All docile. He's just flat give out. Because that little old burro just digs in and says, you're going to pay a price, honey, but well, here we go. That's patience, you see. Patience is when life's trying to have its way and drag you where you don't want to go, but you just dig in. Amen. You just dig in like an anchor. And you may get drug around a little while, but after a while, things will say it's not worth it. Amen. Just give in. Leave them alone. Amen. Patience is fortitude. And then he said meekness. Meekness is a beautiful spirit. I like this definition, that it is power under control. You know, power can be dangerous if it's not under control. But when you have power under control, it's a marvelous thing. You know, I've never been a great horseman, but I watch people that ride horses. They're strong animals. But if you learn how to guide them and how to lead them, how to talk to them, how to communicate with them, it's a marvelous thing. That's power under control. And so that's what meekness is. It's power under control. It's not somebody that lets authority go to their head and becomes abusive. But it's people that have a place of position of authority, but they are loving and kind and generous and thoughtful. You see, that's very important. Amen. And so meekness is a gift of God. Amen. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Wherefore also, thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen. So he said, do what? Two things. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Now, that's not what Brother Andrew Urshan used to do. He'd come, or Nathaniel had come home with his clothes tore up. And his dad said, you've been fighting, son? He said, I've been defending the faith, Dad. I've been defending the faith. That's not the kind of fight he's talking about. Paul said, what? He said, I fought a good fight. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Christian life is not a place for the pacifist. You're going to have to fight to get to heaven. You're going to fight devils. You're going to fight sin. You're going to fight lies. You're going to fight all kinds of stuff. You got to have a made-up mind. You've got to have a lot of fortitude, a lot of strength, and the grace of God. Amen. But he has promised us victory if we'll fight with the fight of faith. Amen. Lay hold on eternal life. I mean, get a hold of it and hang on. Amen. Hang on. What do you got to lose? If you're holding on to eternal life, folks, you're going to make it. If you die holding on, well, it's eternal life. It's worth hanging on to. There's nothing like it. Hang on. Lay hold on it. And don't let go. Amen. Now, let me skip on down here a little bit. I wanted to cover a few things toward the end. He's talking here, verse number 17, he goes back to the rich in this world. And he covers a couple of things that are, I think, important for us. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, number one. Don't think you're better than somebody else. Don't think you're better than somebody else. Hello? Don't think you're better than somebody else. That's what high-minded is. Amen. Why in the world would a human being think they're better than somebody else? Amen. You and I, every one of us, are glorified mud balls.
That's true.
God scooped down, got a bunch of dirt together and made a body and put his breath into it.
Hallelujah.
And that breath made man a living soul. Amen. So it doesn't matter, folks. Let's not ever get to feeling like we're better than somebody else. High-minded. So that's for the rich. It's also for the poor. Amen. It's just somehow some rich folks, I guess, seem to get the idea that because they got a little stuff, they're better than other folks. Amen. Not true. He said, and here's nor trust in uncertain riches. Did you know there were some people that were rich about 3 or 4 months ago that are not rich today?
That's true.
Amen. They're not high-minded anymore. Amen. That just had to have a way of shifting, folks. Actually, nobody really knows. It's all just numbers anyway. You don't really know. I mean, after a while, somebody said, well, he's worth $1 million or $1 billion. Well, really? Amen. Well, just let him die and see how much he was worth. Whatever he had stays right here.
That's right.
Amen. He wasn't really worth all that much, was he? Amen. He may have had a lot in his control, and God put a lot into his stewardship. But that's about the end of it. So don't trust in uncertain riches. What was the fool said? God called him a fool. He said, I've got many goods laid up for many years. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And I'll say to my soul, take thine ease, for thou hast many things laid up for many years. Amen. And didn't know, but that night the Lord came and said, this night your soul is required of you. You see, that's uncertain riches. You don't know. It's like hair today and gone tomorrow. It's the way it is. You just never know. Amen. He said, trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God. You see the alternative? Don't trust in riches. Again, he's not against somebody having riches. Just don't trust in them. Trust in God. Trust in God. He said, because it's God that gives to all of us liberally. God's the one that supplies. God's the one that gives us all the things we need. Amen. It's not the riches. It's the God that gives us the riches that we need to trust in. Amen. And then he said to these same folks, do good. Do good. Be ready to distribute. Be rich in good works. Amen. You see the importance of when you have, you can help. And that ought to be the only motive for having. I said that ought to be the only motive for having a lot is so that you can help a lot. I've heard people say, well, when I win the lottery, what are you doing playing the lottery? But when I win the lottery, I'll tell you what I'm going to do first. Boy, I'm going to give a lot of money to the church. We were helping some folks one time. They had gone through a very hard time in their life. They had lost some loved ones in a very bad situation. A lawsuit was going forth, and they came to church faithfully. And we supported them, prayed with them, helped them. It was our privilege to do so. went to court with them, cried with them, did everything that was possible to help to get through that situation. And you know what? They won. And they won several million dollars. And that was the last time I saw them in church. And that was the last time I saw him in the church. Amen. And the promise is, if we win this thing, brother, that we're going to bless the church. I think we got $100, which was a blessing. Thank you, Butch. Somehow it didn't equal out. I'm just simply saying, folks, you see what can happen to people? None of us really know what we would do. I said, none of us really know what we would do. I think maybe Solomon, the wise man, prayed well when he said, God, he said, never let me get so desperate and not have enough so that I would steal. But don't let me have so much that I'll forget you. Amen. Somewhere in that balance, let me have exactly what I need. All right. And then he said, because we're laying up a store for ourselves, a good foundation against time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I still believe that we have a home, folks, that we're going to. And Jesus said that we were to lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. And we still can and must do that. I think this verse is also very fitting for today. O Timothy, the word Timothy is interesting, his name. It means, very simply, he who honors God. He who honors God. Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. We're living in a day when there's a lot of science that is trying to do away with God. Amen. For years now, they've been trying to make a monkey out of you. Amen. Just tell you that you're an accident. That life came out of a chaotic explosion. And order came out of that explosion. You ever seen anything blow up orderly? I never have. Everything I've ever seen blow up was chaotic. We use the term, it blew to pieces. And they were not orderly. And I've seen blow-ups kill things, but I've never seen blow-ups make anything live. Amen. You see, that's not science, folks. That's science, so-called. The word science here is gnosis. It simply is knowledge. And so science that is ridiculous. I saw last week, was Darwin's 200th birthday. Did y'all celebrate? It was Darwin's 200th birthday. And they had an article in the news, and it said that... the fossil record proves evolution. Now, you know the fossil record, right? That's what happened millions and millions and millions of years ago. Now, who lived back then that's alive today to tell us that's the truth? I mean, if you want to prove evolution, you got to go back millions of years. You can't do it today. You got to go back millions of years. No, folks, it doesn't prove a thing. They say, well, this skull looks like it's a cross between a man and an ape. Well, how do you know? It could have just been an ape. It could have just been a man. I don't know. Amen. But I just know one thing. It doesn't prove evolution. So the fossil record is a fable. Yes, there are fossils, but they don't prove anything. They prove some lived and died. So, science, so-called, when people get to trying to use science to prove there's not a God, still calls for faith. You have to have faith to believe that, or you have to faith believe in God. I'm going to use my faith to believe in God. I read today in the news, it was funny, did you read about the bus? There was a bus that had this big anti-God slogan on the side of it. it's in Italy, and they've done it over in Europe, and they're putting these anti-God slogans on the side of the bus. and the bus wouldn't start. I think the Lord just had a little laugh over that. He said, let me show you something, bud. Amen. And so, but that sight, so-called, he told Timothy, you don't get off into those things. Amen. Avoid profane and vain babblings. I've known folks, you remember the Shroud of Turin? That was a big deal for a little while. That was the Shroud of Jesus Christ. So what? So it was, so it wasn't. I don't know. Really don't care. Amen. I'm not too interested in his cloak. I'm interested in him. Praise God. My faith is not founded on whether his cloaks are around or not. Whether they ever found the supposedly silver chalice or not. None of that matters, folks. That's vain babblings. Doesn't mean a thing. Amen. That's not something to hang your faith on. Amen. We're going to find Noah's Ark. Well, good. But I believe it was there whether you ever find it or not. It doesn't prove a thing to me. And certainly doesn't disprove anything. Amen. This said it, and that's all I need. Amen. You're going to believe God by faith. Amen. We're going to serve God by faith. In science, if science does something that proves something, well and good. If it disproves something, it doesn't disprove a thing for me. Because God's word is still true. Amen. Praise God. He said, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. We've seen that happen. People got to be put in too much faith in so-called science. And they left their faith in God. What a travesty. I read an article some time ago in a magazine, Biblical Archaeology. Would you believe that? This is Biblical Archaeology. These are archaeologists, and every one of them had lost their faith in God. Because they got to put in their faith too much in science. And they lost their faith in God. All of them started out as believers. Wound up as infidels. Amen. Praise God. I think it's good that God has so graciously given us the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it helps me to know spirit and error. I don't know. There's just something about the ring of truth. When you have the Holy Ghost, it'll let you know what's right and what's wrong. Jesus said that his spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. As long as you keep a pure spirit and you keep a pure heart before God, he will always lead you in truth. But you let some bitterness get in your spirit, and you let some hatred get in your spirit, and you let some worldliness get in your spirit, and your perception will get all mixed up. That's why we got to keep our heart pure before God, folks. If we keep a pure spirit and a right spirit, God will always lead us in righteousness and in truth. Let's stand together. Amen. God will never let us go astray as long as we keep our heart right with him. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I was reading an article today about speaking in tongues. They recently did a sign over in the Congo, of all places. They went to a Pentecostal church, and they got five Pentecostal women. And they hooked them up to some kind of machine that checks your brain activity. And they watched their brain while they worshiped and spoke in tongues and worshiped God. Amen. And they said that the area of your brain that controls language, normally when you're speaking, that particular area of your brain is full of activity because That's where thought is taking place. Forming words is taking place. But that place in their brain when they were speaking in tongues was calm. and there was not much action there. Do you know why? The Bible said that we speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. So when you speak in tongues, it's not coming from your brain. It's coming from His Spirit. Amen. And so scientifically, science so-called. Amen. It was interesting, isn't it? They did that and they said, they wanted to prove that these people were mentally unstable. And it proved the opposite. Because people that are mentally unstable have a lot of activity in that area of the brain. And instead they were at peace and had no activity. They were calm instead of being disturbed. Amen. So you see, we're not crazy after all. Isn't that a relief? I don't think any of us are worried about that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But we have peace with God tonight. And you speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good tonight? Let's follow righteousness. Let's follow peace. Let's follow love and faith and grace. Amen. Let's follow those things that are righteous. Amen. We live in an unrighteous world. We need to follow Him in righteousness. Let's love Him right now. Thank Him tonight. God, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us in all righteousness. I thank You, Lord, tonight because You're so merciful and You're so kind and gracious.
And He will guide me.
Lord, You can give us contentment with a little or with much. God, You can lead us, Lord, help us to know what we should do with what we have been given. Thank You for trusting us, making us stewards of the grace of God. Hallelujah. We thank You tonight, Jesus. Thank You for trusting us with so much. Amen. Such great riches. I thank You tonight. I praise You. Hallelujah. I love You. Thank You for trusting us. True riches. In the name of Jesus.
And He will.